If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-azam ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Going to talk about some of the Islamic laws about medical issues and conditions according to Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography and we'll be back. Don't go away.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Subhanallah.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Javid. Welcome to the program again.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome. We promised before the break, in fact, to talk about some of the medical issues and circumstances. According to the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Khamenei, let me start off this episode with this question, Sheikh Javid. Is it permissible to remove the life support from the life support machine that is actually connected to a terminally ill patient, right? The patient's heart beats, but he's brain dead. So is it permissible to remove the life support from this patient, although, his heart is still pumping, mm-hmm. right, and beating, but he's brain dead?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, according to all religious authorities, it's not permissible to remove the life support machine, which is called resuscitator, or maybe
yes,
it is a kind of machine that keeps the patient alive. The patient's heart beats, as you said, but he is brain dead. And a brain dead individual is in fact considered to be alive, and therefore it is necessary to keep the support machine connected to him as long as his heart is beating. And therefore, if a person happens to do this and to remove it, or gives his consent to remove the life support machine, and actually he is considered to have committed a kind of murder, you know. And of course, he has to pay the blood money if he does so, if he takes such an action. And therefore, it is not permissible for him to give his consent as the heir as the heir of the patient. He should not give his consent to the doctor to remove the support machine, though it might be very costly, because keeping a patient who is going to die sooner rather than later, it's going to be very costly for him. But of course, one has to do whatever he can afford and whatever he can do to keep the patient alive, a terminally ill patient alive.
Mm-hmm, I see. Okay, Sheikh Javid, another question quite related to the issue and to the patient situation and circumstances. In cases where a patient is medically incurable,
sure.
All right?
Yeah.
And normally that is the case with those people who are with incurable diseases. They normally have to suffer a lot from the pain that comes with the territory of each and every disease, you know?
Yeah.
So if that is the case, that the patient is enduring a severe pain until their death, when the death comes, can they be, or can they ask the doctors to anesthetize them, you know, with their own consent, of course, right?
Yeah.
Until their death, so that they don't feel so much pain. Obviously, we are not talking about mercy killing.
Yes.
All right? That's a different issue, which is related to, a kind of self-destruction, right?
Mm.
But I'm asking about the anesthetization, with the consent of the patient so that they don't feel so much pain.
As you rightly mentioned, mercy killing is strictly forbidden. And we don't mean to say that
euthanasia.
We don't believe, and we don't, Islam, of course, do not consider it as a legal, as an allowable, as a permissible act.
Yes, that's suicide.
So, as for giving, an injection to a patient to reduce or to decrease his sensation of pain, okay. And that's something we are now actually trying to discuss, okay? And probably it's called, according to a scientific term, it's called anesthesia, yes?
Yes.
So anesthesia actually is allowed if it does not precipitate the death of a person, or it does not inflict any harm or any injury on the patient, and there would be no problem as long as there is no damage is caused to the patient. But if it precipitates his death and brings about his death, of course, it's not permissible.
Mm-hmm. I see.
It's not permissible at all.
Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break for this program, Islamic Laws on Arab English Radio. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, with me, Mohammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about the medical conditions and issues and related Islamic laws, according to Ayatollah Khamenei, about them. Sheikh Javid, if a person is suffering from a fatal disease,
and
normally the doctors would say that this person is going to die, for example, in a short time period, right?
Yeah.
So is it permissible to remove some of the certain organs from this patient's body,
yes,
such as the heart, kidney, and so on and so forth, you know? Before he's dead, of course.
Yes.
While he's still alive. So that it can be transplanted in the body of another person or patient? Is it possible? Is it permissible to do so?
Well, to be short, according to Ayatollah Khamenei, it is not permissible to remove an organ from a living patient, and a very important organ, if it leads to his death with or without his consent, because some patients might want to give his consent to let the doctors remove, or through a surgical process, one of his organ. But if removing that organ actually leads to his death, it amounts to a kind of murder, so it's not permissible.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is an organ that does not lead to his death, and if it is cut off or removed, there is no objection, provided that it is done with the person's permission and with the person's consent. For example, a patient has two kidneys, and if he gives or donates one of his kidneys to another patient who badly needs it.
Right.
So, and he gives it with his own consent. Of course, there's no objection to him consenting or giving permission so that the doctors can remove it and transplant it to another patient who needs it for his survival.
Just to confirm with you, like, for example, this patient suffering from a fatal disease, can give the permission of his, for example, removal of his eyes, although it doesn't lead to his death, to be transplanted to another person?
Well, Islam is opposed to to mutilation of another person's body, dead or alive. Okay.
Yes.
If you give consent and let the doctors remove one of your eyes, it will damage your image, and of course it mutilates you and it disfigures you.
Yes.
And of course a disfigured person in public has no place. He's not given respect. So whether he gives it for a very... Because That person, another person who needs that eye, he can live on without getting that eye transplanted.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not very urgent, and he should not take such an action. It's not permissible if it is considered to be a kind of mutilation or disfigurement.
I see.
Actually deformity of that individual.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sheikh Shabit. And thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. We leave you in Allah's care. So please keep us in your du'as and prayers too. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Rahmanun Rahimun Mannanun Kareemun Salamun Aleemun Malajan ilaha illa hu غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن.